Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, and I'm welcoming into the studio tonight my brociousness bra.
It's brociousness.
Brociousness, I'm sorry, dude. Steve-O.
Yeah.
Steve-O in the house again,
man,
tonight.
I was almost late. I'm working on getting a huge contract.
Let's be clear here. Almost late. You walked in 8 seconds ago?
Yeah. I can't be late because I'm working on getting a huge contract. I'm taking over as co-host of Loveline.
So I've heard. The word is out.
Yeah. And, you know, this is going to be a very regular thing. And Adam Carolla's got to watch out because I'm going to slaughter what we...
Steve-O wants to take over the radio world.
Yeah.
Yes?
That's the way I see it.
Make Howard Stern look weak.
Well, it's not that Howard Stern is weak at all.
No, but I make him look weak.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to...
Oh, my God, we're going to take over. I mean, if you think about it, now you're the one who told me that not even 3 million people have satellite radio. And then if you have XM, and then that means you don't get Howard.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just like, ooh. Plus, once he's allowed to do anything he wants, then it's not, inappropriate.
It's not going to seem.
It's not going to what's compelling.
The novelty gets worn off.
It's the inappropriateness that's compelling. So I think Howard's going to be great, but
it's going to be Steve-O.
Terrestrial radio is where it's at, and Adam Carolla. I'm sorry to say, but he's foolishly trying to walk into Howard Stern's shoes.
You think? I like his show.
I don't know. I'm not against him.
Well, the rest of the country doesn't know. He's taken over for Stern on the West Coast.
Well, what we're saying is that Adam Carolla walked away from his job on Loveline. Just like as if he was leaving in the dust. And I'm telling you that we are going to kill any ratings that you got with Adam Carolla. Yeah.
I promised a friend of mine I'd give a shout out to his students, the MBA students at the University of Southern California, the Trojans. Dr. Mark Young, I think you met once when you were up here.
I humped one of their swimmers.
You what?
The University of Southern California swim team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I nailed one of those chicks.
Really?
Yeah.
Drop any names? Or
I can't remember her name. It was years ago.
Maybe she's an MBA student now. We're just giving a shout out to her.
Hey, it's great to be here, man.
So now listen, so you're working on the sequel. Can we talk about that now?
No, we still can't talk about it. What do you want to hear?
We can't talk about Jackass 2.
I start shooting January 29th in Florida.
Can't talk about that. Can we talk about Camp Steve-O?
No.
Can't talk about that.
MTV doesn't. MTV is I don't know.
Put you on hold.
They have me on hold. I don't know what the deal is, but we're gonna make them sorry if they don't want Camp Steve-O.
You did some pilot of it, right? You put some parents.
Oh my
up
God,
there.
Dude! I went up in the mountains. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I have the strongest pilot, and we can't talk about Camp Steve-O right
now. Okay, can't talk about that. But that'll be on Watch MTV. Casting call still or no?
No, but my website is on even more fire. What we want to talk about is I'm launching a freaking career as a gangster rapper.
Oh, do you want to?
Have it ready? I brought it on TV.
No, no. Well, you sent me some confusing emails. Steve-O and I have exchanged emails the last couple of weeks, and some of them said, do not air this.
Oh, no.
Right, remember?
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, but then there's just...
there's been a lot, Dr. Drew's my new confidant,
Right, he declared I'm his physician, so everything becomes confidential now, so I have to ask his permission. In fact, I should get it in writing. Can I have it in writing to me that I can talk about this?
Yeah, we can talk about my rap career,
All right,
hey, dude, fire this up, dude, as soon as possible. Just throw it right in. It's 100% brutal.
It's clean.
It's clean. Yeah.
In fact, that was.
There's a line that says, "Put my wiener in it."
You can deal with that. Producer and effect, listen to it. It's Steve-O.
Oh my God.
But it's clean. It's clean. I guess
you're
here.
And the thing is, only after I made my rap track and released it, leaked it, to major media, did I find out that this Kevin Federline idiot is actually trying to make a rap career that's serious. Right. I mean, for God's sakes. Now, I tried to make it like it was a joke. Like, I'm trying to make the world's worst rap, but it came out amazing, dude. Oh, my God, it's only 1 minute, and let's blast it. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve-O on the Mizike.
There's a new boy in town, and I don't like to frown. That's why I lay it down. Hey, Steve-O's a gangster. hack it, smack it, let's make a racket. I'm so tough, I always attack it. You know he's a gangster. Sniff it, lick it, put my wiener in it. The way I ball, I cool kick.
The cold ass hustler's on the run. This hard ass gangster's got 100 guns.
You know my skill's gonna pay some bills. In the Hollywood Hills.
He's riding, sliding, dipping, sipping, busting, nodding.
He knows the pleasure. We didn't bunk. I like to get drunk. The way I move, I make the whole house crunk.
He's so hard.
Hard as rock.
I think that was that last one yet. You did the double the
dough. I just wish we had video of a TV camera.
Oh, my God.
Something.
I wonder. I brought a camera.
Steve was breaking it down.
Yes.
Oh, Steve-o.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, like, I actually, no, I'm going to brag right now big time because I happen to have the exact same lawyer as Baby from the Cash Money Millionaires.
Yeah.
As the notorious B.I.G. Biggie Smalls from the first day of his career to the day of his death, still for his family and his estate. I mean, this guy's got platinum plaques all over. And he told me, I would like to say eye-to-eye, but it was, you know, on the internet. But he said, dude, we're going to get another platinum plaque on my wall. He is going to record labels big time. And it's about how much money in advance. We're talking about advances over here. It could cost me hundreds, but hundreds of thousands of dollars to sit down and get wasted enough to write my full rap album.
But let's just think about this. think about the whole show that will go with it. I'm just imagining.
Oh, my God. Dude, you heard it. I have flow. You know? My sister told me, dude, you're good at rapping.
Well, yeah. It's a special quality.
Yeah. Plus, my new lyrics that I'm working on are a lot harder. You know, my new song I'm writing, it's called Popping Off, and it's about my issues with premature ejaculation.
Nice,
you know?
Nice. So it could be a therapeutic song,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Popping Off, you know? Like, that one's got some profanity, though, so I'm not going to go into the lyrics. You know, I'm going to keep
it. Well, we can get a radio version of it, though, going, right?
Oh, my, oh, dude. So, you kidding me?
Give us a taste.
Well, this one, like, you know, I'm quick, slick. I have a small bleep.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
You know, the way, you know, it's more like flicking a bick, you know, than, yeah, it's not really pumping. It's like flipping a bick.
And the girls still like it.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. I don't want to get, I'm too involved in the creative process.
Okay, yeah, we don't spoil. We don't burst that bubble. Yeah, it might ruin the creative moment.
Oh, my God, but dude, this is a defining moment in every musician's career. The first time when they heard their song
on
the
radio.
Every single show about,
hey, this,
like,
is any radio show, buddy.
Exactly.
This
is all 50 states, damn it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you always hear the story about someone was driving and then all of a sudden their music came on the radio. This is the exact defining moment of every musician's career.
At least 40 producers heard that one. Oh, my God, drove up the road right. I got to call Steve on the
literally,
mic.
Exactly.
And by the way,
this is my defining moment right now. I just heard my radio debut, dude.
And what do you
I laid it down.
Steve-O, I get about 30 emails from you a day.
Yeah.
What do you do all day? You sit at the and just
you know,
crank
dude,
stuff
like,
out?
I'm like Tupac, dude. The way I just crank stuff out, you know what I mean? Like, and now we've got this relationship where really what I'm doing is just jockeying to get this job full time, you know, like, or as much of the full time as I can get it.
Cool.
So like you know, and there's a very elite list of people that I try to impress all the time.
I see.
And, you know,
I'm part of that elite.
You are like you're
I'm the email elite,
dude. You're my new personal physician.
You keep saying that. You scare me with that one.
I call you.
Because then I can't be your friend.
Well,
I can be your friend who's a doctor.
And
I'll keep things confidential if you ask me to.
How many requests have you gotten from me already? Like, is it okay to swallow?
No, let me tell you what I've got already. Is it okay if I drip wax, candle wax, into my eye and seal my eye shut?
Yeah, when
producers are freaking out. I want to tell them the doctor said it's okay. Okay? That's number one.
Yeah, and I didn't say pour it into my eye. I said if I glue my eyes shut with candle wax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you said that it should be fine, but that didn't come from you. That didn't violate our confidentiality.
That's how that works.
And then there what was the other one that was funny? Is it cool to swallow lots of BBs and then see if a metal detector goes off on my stomach? He said, as long as they're not lead BBs, and as long as there's no major gastrointestinal problems.
I can't believe I answered these questions.
It's just a great relationship that we have. And now even like, I mean, without going into it, you know, just like my personal life, I'm really opening up my, I'm breaking down the walls, you know, I'm coming out of my shell.
And it's an exciting place to be, guys, ladies and gentlemen. I want to assure you, I wish I could share it with you.
I've not dropped the ball on a single email yet. Have I?
No, not one yet. We're just on the air here. But I'll take some calls. You want to show your wares here. Now, this is Nate 20. You're on with Steve-O, Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
My question was, does semen usually have, I mean, is this something I need to have checked out? They're kind of clumpy.
And they are?
So your loads are clumpy. Hey, man, that happens to me all the time.
Well, the strand, they're like strands, semi-translucent strands. They're about an inch long.
You mean like the tapioca pudding, kind of?
Kind of, and they're about an inch long or so.
Inch long is a little bit big, but again, that can be normal. That lumpy thing can be normal.
It doesn't want to come out all the time.
Oh.
Like it actually
is this getting in the way of your pleasure?
Yeah.
We have a problem here.
Do those things tend to accumulate after there's been a long time between ejaculations?
Nope, it's just about every time.
That's just you.
Oh, man. How often are we ejaculating?
You actually got to, manually...
Oh, no, dude, that's so harsh. Oh, man. Oh. God. Dude, you didn't say your name on the radio, did you?
No, it's Nate.
Okay. Oh, man, dude, that's weird. I hate to make light of, I'm sorry, that's serious.
I don't think it is. I really don't think it is.
I think it's
a problem, but I don't think it's a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
The amount
isn't there either, like it has been.
All right, Nate, do you have any medical problems?
No, not that I know of.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Okay, just go to see a urologist. I don't think this will end up being anything. Guys get this very commonly when there's long periods of time between ejaculations or tapioca pudding syndrome. The fact that you're having to sort of milk them out and pull them out, that kind of stuff, a little bit out of the ordinary there, and I'd look into that.
I would be like, finally, I got busted.
It suggests something's going on more than usual. I don't think infection. I just worry about the mechanics of what's going on there, the tubing, so to speak, the plumbing. Tyler, 18.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
We're good. You're on with Steve-O. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. In case, as though anybody didn't know Steve-O.
Yeah,
here's a great thing about having you go on, Steve-O.
I think each appearance gets better and better, but what's your problem, bro?
Man, I just wanted to ask Dr. Drew about his position on bisexuality. I've kind of listened to the show lately, and I've heard him say that you're either gay or you're straight. I just want to understand.
Nah. Dr. Drew agreed with me that there's a little bit of homo in the most straight dude, and the most straight dude's totally a queer, too.
I've just said
shades of gray.
For some reason, people have a lot of energy on this one. There definitely is people behaving bisexually. There's no doubt that it exists. The question is, what is it? What is it? And most frequently, when I encounter it, it ends up being not really a firm bisexual orientation. It ends up being sort of confusion.
What it is it's basically a light switch that is clearly switched one way or the other, but has sort of as you switch it, it's gradually got different levels of light.
There's that, but there's also people who are sexually addicted and they're just acting out all over the place.
They go
with guys and girls. There are people that are sort of confused about their identity, sexual identity amongst that. And as Steve-O says, there are people that are going from half to whole.
There is definitely, you know, my light switch analogy, you know, you can't turn the light entirely off and you can't turn it entirely on. There's going to be shades of gray in the middle.
What do you think, Tyler? Right. What's up with you?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Well, I wouldn't know about that. But I also had another question about ecstasy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it makes you perform like an animal in the bed.
What's the deal, Tyler?
Really? Well, I've tried it recently, and I don't know. I decided not to take it anymore because I've heard it causes brain damage.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
Good man.
It's not good for you.
Even Steve-O says it's not good for you.
I'm not going to recommend it for anyone, but for people who have real premature ejaculation issues like I do, it is a major stamina enhancer.
There you go.
And I'm sorry that I'm just telling the truth from personal experience.
And what's the deal, Tyler? What's the question?
Well, I don't know. My buddy is really into it. He's been doing ecstasy for, you know, like a year, year and a half.
Are these guys gay, Drew?
No, I don't think so. But watch what happens to him, Tyler. He'll start hanging out by himself. He'll start becoming afraid to go outside, and he will get depressed.
From ecstasy?
Yeah, there's a characteristic syndrome that develops.
Man, I've never even heard of taking it alone. Oh, no, I did that on
cruise ships. They stop being interested in going out. Anyway, they get agoraphobia.
Man, see, I know depression. It as a rave drug, man. Like you go out with your bros to the club.
That's where it starts. But that's why it's so striking when these people go from being super social to not wanting to go out anymore.
I had a major phase, man. I was like a 2 ecstasy pill per night every other night so that I could get the full effect, you know? But, yeah, and then I just got out of the phase, man. Like, when I was busted for international drug smuggling in Sweden.
What?
Yeah, I had taken a condom and I filled it up with marijuana, and I was in Norway and I tied it in a knot, swallowed the whole thing. You know, and then
why did you do this?
Because I could film my international drug smuggling skit, and then at the end I was going to poop it out, and then rip open the condom and then sort of say that's good bleep.
And what happened?
It'd be like a really good joke. What happened was that it didn't come out for like the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, and I'm doing press every day to promote my tour.
The tour of the international smuggling tour.
It was my Don't Try This at Home tour. I film while I'm on tour.
I see.
So I'm interview after interview. How you doing? And I say, well, I think I'm going to die of intestinal strangulation because I have this big package of marijuana and a condom that it's been 4 days, it's been 5 days. So I did poop it out. I ripped the condom open, and I smoked all the good poop, you know. And then the next morning, I was ambushed by, as I left the hotel in Stockholm, Sweden, ambushed by undercover police officers. And I thought, like, oh, man, I already pooped it out, you know. They go, do you have drugs on you? Like, no, man, I felt totally unaccountable for what I was doing. And so take me down to the station, man. Search, I don't care. You know, I'll film me all on camera, so rad. And then the first thing they pulled out of my backpack was a pill of ecstasy. And it was blue, and it even had a smiley face on it. It meant nothing to me, proving the point that, I mean, I didn't even know it was there. I was surprised, you know. So many people give me drugs on tour. And it's just like, oh, man, obviously what had happened is somebody gave me a pill of ecstasy, and I was like, you know what? I don't even feel like it, and I just threw it in my bag. Like, maybe I'll give it to my butler later, you know? And so, like, I went through my phase. I'm over the ecstasy, unless you have some. Yeah.
No. Just sitting here listening with my jaw hanging on the ground. Shelly, 28.
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Steve-O. Hey, I love you.
Thank you, baby. Did you like my rap song?
Oh, yeah. I have all your videos, too.
Oh, no way, killer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Where are you calling from?
Lafayette, California.
No way, rad, California. What's the problem here, babe?
It's brociousness or brociousness?
Brociousness.
Brociousness.
Yeah, you know.
Good. I wanted to ask you, when I orgasm, I hold my breath. I wanted to know if that was normal.
Hey, if it's enhancing your experience, baby, then just hold your breath as much as you
mean
you want.
You bear down or you can't breathe?
I just, like, yeah, bear down. I just, like, get really tense, and I hold my breath, and
bearing down, like you're bearing down.
So she's having a real good time.
Is it hard for you to have orgasms?
Are you bragging or are you complaining?
I think she's one of the people who has to squeeze them out.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't understand the male body.
Female body.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that one.
No, it seems to make my orgasms come faster. Like, if I do that, I can have about 10 or 20 or 30 orgasms in an hour.
Wow. Now that is the kind of talk.
Who's going to argue with you, Shelly?
Yeah.
You're an expert.
So you're calling to brag to us that you're having more fun than us.
Than 90% of women on Earth.
Now, is this masturbating orgasms or is this sex orgasm?
Both.
Ah, you. You know, like, I'm one of the, my whole position on this is just skepticism. I don't believe in you know, I just think... Because I'm so damn jealous of these multiple orgasms that I refuse to believe in them. I think they're like Santa Claus.
All right, Shelly, don't change a thing, all right?
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like you're having a great time.
Day.
Yeah, baby. If I play your cards more, I probably will.
He's not going to leave anybody out. Alan, 20, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, I just wanted to call to thank you for something. When I was 15, I committed a sex offense.
Ooh, wow, that's a big call, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was in high school, and there was a girl I was going to school with, and, you know, it was stupid, and it was something that I regret every day since.
Hmm.
This is obviously a big move to admit that on the radio, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if, have you done anything other than this call to make amends?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've been...
Definitely is a strong word. that almost lacks remorse.
I've been in treatment since then.
Oh, great.
How old are you now, pal?
I'm 20.
20. What kind of treatment you been getting?
In the state of Colorado, which is where I'm calling from, anytime you're committed of a sex offense charge, you're required to go through treatment. And
you should be, right?
Well, no.
Some places they just incarcerate. They don't treat them.
Yeah, definitely. And so I've gone through some pretty extensive offense-specific treatment, which is actually really similar to... I've also had some drug and alcohol treatment.
Right.
Do you still have a relationship with your victim?
No, I don't.
Are you somehow reaching out to her right now?
No, definitely.
But you're in a 12-step program, right?
Yes.
Great.
I've gone through 12 steps, and I've gone, like, as far as, like, behavioral cycles and things like that.
Great.
I've actually, for the last year, been pretty heavily involved in victim impact work, like restorative justice work.
Wow.
Working with other people who've offended. I went with the original charge. It was.
Are people just curious about what exactly this guy did? Was this full penetration rape over here?
No. I grabbed her breast.
Oh Jesus! Come on, dude. Can we just kill this call? I mean, because the guy's all over the place. It sounds like, I committed a sexual offense, but then all you're doing is sitting here bragging, giving your resume about what a great guy you are. And all you did was grab a boobie? For crying out loud, get over it.
Well,
just listen, Steve. Just listen. What's up, Alan?
Well, it's you know, there's more to it than that, because it's...
Yeah, there's more medals on the hanging around your neck.
No, I'm sure you've done other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Have you done anything with kids?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Well,
he's
look.
Like, oh, no, I'm a half-ass.
But here's the deal. Alan, thank you for calling. I'm sure one of the things you're hoping to do is sort of shout out to other people.
I think that he does want this to reach his victim as well.
Well, but more importantly, if anybody else is having impulses that are inappropriate before they hurt somebody else or themselves, realize that
yeah, but this guy's not even an offender. In my, let me take that back. What this guy did by calling in was 100% positive thing. And I congratulate him for having the bravery to really let that out.
And
there,
so. Also, not by the way, to spend a lot of time and energy really managing these things, which he benefits from as well as everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know.
Hey, what do you think about this Million Little Pieces controversy?
The guy
that was lying, that Million Little Pieces, that book, the guy fabricated that whole story. Or lots
about
of
who?
We'll talk
I fabricate
about
stuff all the time. You might have heard that I fabricated about giving Paris Hilton some kind of. Yeah, that was a toy line. Yeah.
We'll take a break on that note. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Steve-O, my brociousness.
Yeah, dude.
Dude.
Hey, dude, we're killing it today, man. And I want people to make it known that they need Steve-O to take over Adam Carolla's job on Loveline and take over terrestrial radio at large. Yes.
We'll be right back.
Loveline. How do you want me to say it?
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Big week this week. Steve-O, who's been outside relieving himself, smoking and drinking. It's been a great experience.
Oh, my God.
A picture of health, Steve-O. A picture of health.
I know.
Let me just give the rundown for the week. We've got an amazing week coming up here. We have Alex from Laguna Beach with a new Alex coming with her.
Never heard.
Alex from Laguna Beach. Alicia Cuthbert coming in. Jenna Fisher
huge.
From The Office. Jenna Fisher, you've seen The Office, right?
Nope. Don't watch fiction, pal.
Dude, she wants revenge band. Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. Sure, yeah, effect. the guy, the wussy who doesn't do anything.
DJ.
What up?
DJ AM coming in.
Oh, no way.
Yes. Danny Bonaducci after
that. Oh my God, I thought Ozzy Osbourne was my hero, and then I saw Danny Bonaducci's show.
Ozzy's your hero.
Ozzy is my hero. I mean, I told you about when I met him, right?
Like, no,
I met him because I've got the S word
yes
on my right hand
and the F
word on my left hand, so that
your dad said offended you.
Yeah, he said that's dumb. But the penis on my arm was personally offensive to him.
Yes.
you know, I did that. So, but then now Ozzy's obviously got Ozzy on his knuckles.
Oh, right.
So now, like, this move to get, like, my hands blurred every time I'm on TV, you know, with real profanity. I mean, you can't, they're four-letter words. You need four-letter words for knuckles.
Yeah.
There's only two four-letter words that matter, and I got them, baby, you know? So I wanted Ozzy to know that I wasn't competing with him. Like, I wasn't trying to be gnarlier than him.
Yeah.
But I said, Ozzy, I got my knuckles tattooed with these words to make you proud of me.
What'd yeah. he say?
He's a little... he was still kind of drooling. Then, like, that was when he went out. That was when he went out and signed the motorcycle on Leno.
Oh, yeah.
And Leno didn't want me to sign his motorcycle.
Oh,
oh yeah, I got beef.
Why not?
Now I'm in the rap game. I got soldiers, pal.
Got
yeah.
a posse. All right, we got a bunch of Steve-O questions. Let's get on with those. Right. Terra 18.
Hey, Steve, I just wanted to tell you, I am your honest-to-God second biggest fan.
Yeah.
Who's the first
Hugs.
Biggest fan?
Hugs. Me, baby, me.
You're your own first
you
biggest fan?
You know what? Fan? I can't. I put out this documentary, right? It was the fourth in the series of my solo DVD releases. And what it was kind of a complete curveball. And I made this 45-minute long, two-offered TV sort of E-True Hollywood story, Steve-O the early years, which I'm dying for you to watch, Drew.
He was a zygote.
No. This girl's seen it. Now, I felt, like, apologetic for making, like, people, like, my fans listen to something or, you know, or pay attention for 45 minutes when I'm in the business of short attention span theater.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was making this project that was more... Like, you know, I'm really going to impress the parents of my fans.
Uh-huh,
my
uh-huh.
fans. So now, to, as an apology in the credits roll, and then huge block words to the fans. But then zip, just, oh, you see this essay, scroll. Back. So you have to hit pause and, like, frame by frame slow mo. It's the most hassle you could ever have to go through to read something. And it's an essay that I wrote about the price of fame.
Oh.
Establishing that, you know, like... All the cliches are true, and people think that once you're on TV and once you're famous, that you get laid as much as you want. I confirmed that you get laid a whole hell of a lot more, you know. But that I had decided to stop having sex with women, you know. That I was from
you're switching to men.
No, switching to just having sex with rubbers. And if it's slutty chicks want to help me out, that's fine with me. Which was in it's all in this thing, you know. Then now the essay culminated. Which this girl obviously did, and thank you so much. It culminated in saying that people coming up to me in public can be really kind of annoying, you know, like people can be overwhelming. But, you know, the big pet peeve that I have is when people come up to me and say that they're my biggest fan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, bleep that, bleep, 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 bleep. I'm my biggest fan, bleep it.
But now you get terror. You know? Now you have people vying for the second biggest fan.
I know. I said, so all of you who just watched this documentary about my life and actually just went through the hassle to slow down this essay, you really are my biggest fans. So
yeah,
if you see me anywhere...
about three times.
Well, Tara, what else makes you the second biggest fan?
I said in the essay, I said, if you see me, come up to me and say, I'm your second biggest fan, and I will hug you, and that moment will make all of the crap that I go through worthwhile, you know? So thank you, baby.
Anytime.
You make it all worthwhile.
You like that?
I wanted to tell you, your rap made my year. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are you on my website? I have a website community that is off the charts. Is that, like, you have to, like the check out the website is no big deal. It's stevovideo.com. Just lawsuit after lawsuit, just waiting to happen.
Why?
Just, like, because I'm not supposed to talk about Paramount Pictures stuff like that, you know. Like, I've been basically streaming things with music that's not licensed. You know, exposure's off the charts. And the message board, it's like, you have to, like, apply and, like, be accepted. Like,
oh,
to my
really?
Message. It's
oh.
like this hyper-exclusive.
It's like these European
the
schools that you went to.
The message board on my stevovideo.com website is, like, this exclusive community. You can't even read what's on there without being, like, accepted as a member, you know? And, boy, do I spill the beans on there. Yeah!
Another Steve-O question. J23. Jay?
Hello, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? You're on with Steve-O. It's 1-800-LOVE-191.
And I'm only on, like, my seventh beer. I'm totally mellow.
We're trying to slow him down a little bit because he blows it when he gets wasted.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm coming here with a bottle of vodka, then it's going to wind up bad.
Hey, that's all good. Hey, Steve, I got a question for you. I guess a year and a half or 2 years ago, something like that, I guess you were supposed to do kind of an intimate and interactive gig or whatever, I don't know, at a radio station in Toronto called The Edge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, now this is what happened. Okay.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, yeah. It was Canadian tour, all right? Like, we're operating with a van. Like, I mean, really, to get from one show to the next. Like, I mean, it was just like show, and plus press. So it's like we stayed up through the night, drinking, getting wasted. And we had Wee Man, we had me and Chris Pontius. And now Wee Man, even though I've said little person to me is more offensive than midget. Because to take someone as a person, them as an entity.
I like Wee Man sounds good.
Yeah, but to refer to someone as a little person.
In fact, I saw Wee Man putting his head inside of alligator's mouth.
I know.
And you freaking out.
Yeah,
you
dude. Yeah, we should be plugging Wild Boys too. But now the thing is, like, to Wee Man, the word midget is like the N-word.
Oh, really?
You know, I mean, I think every single...
How about dwarf?
You know, there...
Too many kinds of dwarfs.
It's just obscure, you know? Yeah, like, you'd have to be a doctor, even you don't know.
Yeah, achondroplastic dwarf.
Exactly. Yeah. So now, like, we were listening to the radio as we were pulling. We were late to get to the radio station.
Here?
It was in Toronto. And these bleepers called Wee Man a midget.
Oh.
Pontius and I were so drunk that... I mean, we were ready to, these guys, I think, may still have lost their jobs. These radio DJs, we showed up after Pontius swore that he wasn't going to swear. And then, like, you know, and then I think they used the word, plus, this is a radio station that had, like, an entire audience of, like, young kids.
In the studio.
And, you were supposed to be there, man. You blew it, dude. Like they called Wee Man a midget. Pontius just lights up every four-letter word. I pull out my... Start peeing all over... I peed all over their entire studio, punishing these people for upsetting my bro, Wee Man. And now, like, coming down from the executives, whatever, upstairs was, stop the broadcast. But the guys knew that it was compelling radio, so what they did was they let us continue and lost their damn jobs. What up? Call Wee Man a midget.
So there you go, Jay. Kind of makes sense now?
Yeah.
Even though I think they probably got their damn jobs back, and all the press probably give them a raise. But they won't be calling Wee Man a midget anymore. That's for damn sure.
What? They're still on the air?
I know, and they probably got a raise, and it was probably a big publicity stunt.
They had gotten suspended for like a day or so, and they were back like a couple days later.
Yeah, but it's all about the cheddar, dude. I think they fined his ass.
This is Bridget 20. Bridget?
Yes.
What's on? You're on with Steve-O.
Hi. Okay, so my boyfriend and I broke up like 2 months ago. We were together for like 3 years.
You sound young. How young?
20.
Okay. Oh, sweet.
And we're still friends with benefits, and he's going out with another girl right now.
Okay, so now what you got to understand is that you are having sex with every person he's having sex with.
Not only that, you're still in love with this guy. Cut it out. This guy does not care about you.
You know what? Do not peel the Band-Aid. Rip the Band-Aid.
Do not think that because he's having sex with you, he has any feelings whatsoever.
Yeah, and you know what? It's probably like a no-condom rule still continuing from when they were exclusive.
Right.
But now the no-condom rule is the rule for everybody. Baby, get the hell out of there.
Well, this has happened before. Like, we broke up before. He dated another
girl. And then he probably brought you back the itchy and scratchies.
And even so, why you would tolerate this kind of crap is just beyond imagination.
Do not assume the role of victim by choice.
Right. This guy is victimizing you, is exploiting you, and in all probability has really no feelings for you. Him getting back together, him just hanging out with you
using you as a...
One of the things that women have a grave, grave misconception about is that just because a guy is having sex with you does not mean he's having any feelings whatsoever.
Exactly.
I understand for you, a lot of feelings come with it, not for the guy.
And every successful guy with money is looking for someone to settle down with. It's another misconception.
So tell us more about that. What do you mean? Oh, he's just looking for more rags?
This guy wants more jizz. So glad that I can say jizz. Dude, Howard Stern has nothing on us. Yeah. We're going to use
creativity.
Yeah. We are going to make this show kick butt, people. So tune in on Loveline when Steve-O's around. Yeah.
One more question. Rose 20. Rose?
It's actually like a two-part question.
All right.
My boyfriend's penis is curved.
Sometimes. Which way is it curving?
The right end. I curved
like
to the left.
Elephant.
Like an elephant. It was curving down. Like an elephant's trunk.
Maybe he's.
Oh, Steve-O's had some amazing experiences with elephants. It's still etched in my brain.
Thank you for watching Wild Boys, man.
Etched in my brain, watching Steve-O blowing on an elephant's penis, getting peed on, and then elephant crapped on, and then vomiting.
Yeah,
that was the most.
Plus, dude, we got more elephants coming. Oh. So now, curved downward. My penis curves in sort of a corkscrew manner towards the left because I'm right-handed.
That's where your hand goes, right.
I've been with my right hand, you know. Just
slow it down a bit, Steve. Just take it easy. Be good yourself.
That's why I'm such a fast premature ejaculator.
You got it down to a science.
It's just because I've honestly
you
just
honed
got
your skill.
I really like time is money is the way I see it, you know? And like I And I just, like, literally...
Didn't you tell us last time that women like to see you do that or something?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I perform for... Now I'm actually, like, kind of backing up and doing masturbating by myself for a minute.
Not for women anymore.
Well, I'm doing it more and then writing emails about it. What up? But you know, like, mentally, as I do it, you know, like I kind of imagine this beautiful woman in this seductive sort of, you know, and then like in my mind, like it's really kind of picturing the moment of entry that I just
pow,
yeah, pow. You know, and I mentally train myself to perform that way, and it really carries over to my love life, which can be really hurtful. You know,
Rose,
my ego.
Let's go back to the penis, the elephant trunk penis. Sometimes that's just the way a guy is sort of born. Rather than being an acquired problem, it's something that's sort of genetically predisposed. If it's acquired, sometimes it will respond to some vitamin E. So you can take 800 units of vitamin E a day. It's this way.
Does it curve downward when he's hard?
Yeah.
No, that's gnarly.
What?
Oh, man.
What's the position that you do? Because it hurts. Like,
right. Oh. And in fact, I was talking to a urologist that repairs these curves, and he was saying that downward curve is one of the more uncomfortable ones for the female partners.
Dr. Drew.
And that's usually the reason.
That's all there is to it. He knows everything.
And that's usually the reason they go ahead and have these surgeries. But definitely try the vitamin E 800 units a day first, okay?
Okay, what would you position, though?
Hey, baby, obviously reverse cowgirl. Hello.
Well, yeah, or whatever. You've got to experiment around to find something. But missionary does tend to be kind of painful.
Hey, reverse cowgirl. You're on top.
Wait a minute.
Reverse cowgirl.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's I don't know if Pontius made that up, but you know, reverse cowgirl, and you are gonna be coming till the cows come home, right? And it's love line. We're allowed to say that. Take that, Howard.
Rose, what's that?
Oh, nothing. Just thank you. That was the only question I had.
You got to experiment a little bit, but know that this is
reverse cowgirl,
and realize
baby.
There may be something more needs to be done here.
Just stay on top and do what you do. Just start playing twists. You're on top. You're gonna be fine.
That is Steve-O. 1-800-LOVE-191. We're still keeping a piece together here.
Yeah, we haven't even started talking about my friend Dreamer.
I know.
We'll do that after the commercial.
All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight in here is the irrepressible Steve-O.
Oh, yeah, dude. The new Loveline host. We were talking about it during the break. All right, now what's really going to happen with Loveline? We've got Adam Carolla. He's doing the mornings where you can't say, come on a bitch. Yeah, take that, Adam Carolla. So now the question is, with my Jackass 2 movie deal that I am not supposed to be talking about whatsoever, I'm going to be off filming Jackass 2, and maybe we could have me in patched in by phone, perhaps, whatever.
Where are you guys going to film that?
I would start in Florida.
Alligators?
Highly confidential.
Highly confidential.
Yeah,
can't talk about it.
Yeah, we
can't
won't talk about that. But now the thing is, it's like, how do we work my contract? Okay, because Adam Carolla... You know, I mean, geez, it's not like you made a lot of money off basic cable. Let's put it that way. What up?
You almost did, thanks to you.
I know, you really almost did, but his ass got canceled, and I did everything I could help. But now, what I'm saying is, I come here, Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, for all the times I was on before, and it's like we get out, I'm stumbling down, falling drunk, and probably being carried away, and you guys both get into real nice cars. So what I'm saying is that there's some money laying around that isn't getting paid to anybody right now. And there's a seat that Adam Scroll's ass is not on anymore. And I am about to plop my fanny in it. What up with that? So now if I'm off shooting movies and doing big, huge stuff, you know, then maybe when I get back, we'll pile on a few extra nights of the O-Town in the hizzy.
There you go. All right, here's some more stuff for you. Here's Brittany 17.
Oh, man, almost legal tender.
Yeah, almost. And actually a week. I'm going with my boyfriend.
Yeah, what's going on? Where are you calling from, baby?
Sorry, I'm taken. And
oh, honey, so am I. Just kidding. Sorry.
27. I just want to say hi, but I was curious, Steve-O, what do you consider is the craziest thing you've ever done, sexual or otherwise?
Hey, babe, you know, and I hate to say it, but unprotected sex is by far the dumbest stunt out there.
What, aside from that, not with a human, what's the craziest thing you've ever done?
I don't know, man. Like, it's all apples and oranges, baby, you know. I got a recently got a huge tattoo on my stomach.
What?
I emailed it to you, dude. Dr. Drew.
Oh, you know, I did see that. You know what? It didn't quite come through right.
It's a blood and crypt tattoo. Now, every time I get a tattoo.
That's a little crazy. I mean, you're
every time I get a tattoo, okay, I don't have a list of tattoos that I intend to get. You know?
Yeah.
Like, for example, I was walking down the street, and I just thought, I have a small wiener, you know? It just popped in my head. I went running to the nearest tattoo parlor to get, I have a small wiener, right? Right?
That's a new one.
No. I've had it for years.
Oh.
And now I sat down.
But let's clarify. It says, I have a small wiener on his shoulder.
The tattoo artist says, Wiener, W-E-A-N-E-R. You know that I know my... I've never sent you a spelling error.
No.
You know? I said W-I-E-N-E-R. And then 3 days after I get this tattoo, does somebody point out to me that it says, I have a small whiner.
Oh.
The guy... Like, now, who goes to get words tattooed on their body for the rest of their life and then days later finds out that the words are misspelled and is ecstatic, like, yes! Like, it's even dumber than I thought.
That's great. You know? It suits you.
Exactly. You know, I have on my stevovideo.com website, I've got an entire page of all, like, 23 tattoos I have. Click on each tattoo for an explanation from Steve-O as to why it is so retarded.
It's Rob 20. Rob, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? First two things are for Steve-O. Your Humvee tattoo on your arm.
Yeah, the off-road tattoo.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I get to see them as...
Did you leave
it? The one that was performed in the Jeep as we off-roaded through a motocross track in the desert.
Yes,
yeah.
Humvee. It was intended to be a smiley face.
Yes, yes.
And if you unblur your eyes, it's totally a smiley face.
Totally is.
See? Yeah, dude.
And the second thing is, here's something for you to try. Find a black-banded moray eel and let it bite
Ooh.
You.
You've had that happen?
We did that in New Zealand, pal. What, you don't watch Wild Boys?
Wait a minute, you're in St. Louis. What the hell are you doing with moray eels?
Pet store.
Yeah, dude, come on, pal. You're talking to a wild boy on MTV2 on Friday nights at 9:30? Yeah! And thank you again, Dr. Drew, for watching. Hey, did you see the new show, Thailand and Argentina? Oh, man, Dr. Drew did. What, you ain't got cable?
Cable
TV?
No, I don't have cable, unfortunately.
We Man is at his best.
Dude, it's a strong material, and it gets better and better and better, just like Loveline will.
Cool.
What's the other thing, Rob?
Is there anything you can do for penile enlargement?
Yeah, you know what? Get over it, dude. Like women only say that a man has a small penis and that he's a premature ejaculator when he doesn't call back.
Right, when they're angry with them.
Yeah, exactly. The size of a man's... You know, I put it to you this way. When a woman pleasures herself by herself, she doesn't even insert anything. It's just like a little finger on the outside. So that's how big your wiener needs to be, pal. About as big as the pad of your fingertip. And that is all a woman needs. So don't enlarge anything, dude. You're putting chemicals in your body that don't belong there. And you need to understand that your wiener is fine the way it is, dude. Yeah.
Rare that I agree completely with Steve-O, but I agree completely with Steve-O.
I have not got a large penis, and I come so fast. It's awesome.
So yours is completely off the chart. How should we say, unsatisfactory?
Dude, I am horrible in bed.
Completely
up. I am the worst.
Yeah, people are happy.
But very, very quick on the reload.
Oh, you can
quick,
yeah.
Very quick on the reload, nice. Yet well still a complete premature well ejaculator. I've had round number three even be shorter than number one. Yeah.
All right, Rob, let me just address this for a second. There are no medications or pills that can make your penis bigger, okay? Obviously, you can look back at every magazine in the country, and there's some crazy
hey,
that's
Dreamer,
trying to
let me
sell
get a
you.
Beer.
Secondly, there are operations that will do this.
Dude,
hang on.
Dude,
let me just, I'm just
God,
we're just going to answer
it.
Hang on, but then I'm going to go into
that's
your...
That's like when I was going to get a scrotum hanging from my chin so I could call myself a rooster at a plastic surgeon's office.
As you say, bad idea.
Horrible idea.
Bad idea. But there's...
Thanks,
oh. Dreamer. I was going to see what the surgeon said, but you got to go to that Dr. 90210
that
guy.
That is funny, though, the rooster.
All right, Rob, here's the deal. Is that there's an operation where they can lengthen it about an inch and can improve the girth by about 30%. They actually, just talk about it. They cut the tendon down here, the suspensory
I'm about
tendon,
to
ligament.
Take the headphones off.
And they pull it out with actually a weight, and then they actually sew something. They pull the skin down to the pants. They sew like a Pop-Tart in there.
It's such a higher level of insecurity required than fake right. boobs for women.
And that's the bottom line is I've never personally met a guy that was preoccupied about the size of his penis who wasn't fundamentally preoccupied about his
exactly,
self-worth.
Dude. This is a symptom of a psychological issue that you need to deal with and not your genitals.
And then, in fact, if the issue is to focus on your work, your employer,
exactly.
your wife,
that's
your
that's what
hobby,
impresses women.
Things
is
that you're into.
Money and money. Yeah.
That's a great message. So anyway, Steve-O in here tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
And we are going to talk about some serious crack smoking when we get back.
And we made it through one yeah. hour. God knows if we'll make it through the second. We'll be right back.
What up?
Everybody, it's Loveline. That's Steve-O mumbling into the mic
ha,
there.
Sorry about that, dude.
What were we talking about? He just showed me some footage of a friend of his doing...
Ryan Simonetti, for all you people listening, all my loved ones from my website community.
Crazy
Ryan
stuff.
Simonetti is in the house, sitting crazy right there with stuff. My bro Dreamer.
All right, that's, of course, Steve-O. And here's Cher, who wants to ask Steve-O his opinion on something.
Okay.
Cher?
Hey.
You're
hey,
on with Steve-O. 1-800-LOVE.
Hot as hell.
191.
Hi, I have a question for Steve-O.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Hope he's done.
Sorry.
Hey.
Go for it. I'm sorry. I'm distracted by how hot you sound.
Thank you. I'm a little shy.
Oh, baby. God, that makes me feel so hot.
I was thinking about getting breast augmentation. And
oh, babe. Okay, I can clear this up right now.
Yeah,
hand,
well, you were
some hands down.
Hands
yeah, it's insecurity, babe. See, now I dated, like, I still have nightmares about a girl whose life I felt I needed to get out of before I ruined it. Because she was, I met her and I was like, the number one movie in America. And
yeah.
She was straight out of high school. I was 28. She was 18.
And what happened?
We had this tour I went on. I toured, like, 12 countries. I just flew her all over the world.
Well, she came with you.
Yeah, and I loved her, you know? Like, I still love her. Like, and she had no boobs, you know?
The point of the story.
The thing is, like, this girl's identity was rapidly becoming Steve-O's chick, you know? And I really felt like she needed to find her own two feet. I was paying for, if I don't pay for everything, our
parents do. Did I meet her at that party you guys were at?
No, that was my Victoria's Secret model
girlfriend.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. But, okay, so, I had to get out of this girl's life, you know? Like, she was becoming, like, Steve-O's chick as an identity. If I didn't pay for everything, her parents did. And I was like, hey, you know, like, when down the road, if this girl falls on her butt, it's not going to be my fault. So it hurt me a lot. But I left the relationship because I loved her.
What does this have to do with the boobs?
She had, my girlfriend had no boobs, okay?
Yeah.
She was flat as a board.
You like that?
Well, what I'm saying is that the confidence a woman portrays by being okay with her flat boobs is attractive to me as a man.
Well, it's also make the point that there's guys that are into everything. You know, certain guys are into something. Guys are all over the place.
I know, but the thing is, like, it's like the only thing you're going to do by getting boobs that are fake is get more construction workers to whistle at you.
Right. You get a
because when the
kind
man
of guy.
That, when the man that you want to wind up with, the really good man, when he squeezes them and feels part of it is totally fake, and then it's sitting, it's got this real part kind of sitting on it. Like squeezing a boob like that sucks, babe. You know? And it's like if you want more construction workers whistling at you because you're insecure, that's great. But now on the other hand, a woman that's willing to mutilate her body for my personal enjoyment. Like, that's attractive, too. But that's not long-term relationship material.
Don't you think that...
To be confident in who you are, learn to love what's messed up about you. Because that is the only path. Nobody's perfect.
When anthropologists dig up women from our current century...
it's going to be awesome.
They'll be like, well, we've drug up women from the 21st century, and they have these silicone sacks in the chest. Must have been a funeral ritual. They place these sacks on their chest after death to signify fertility.
Whatever it is, it's baby. Here's my point, and I know that I'm a little bit drunk and probably on my ninth beer. And nobody is perfect. So in order to be happy, one must embrace their imperfections. And babe, small boobs are not an imperfection. It's insecurity over them that is. And just rock the ones you got. And hopefully you get good sensation from them.
Okay. Let's see. Let's look around here. This is Brittany, 19.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're good. You're on with Steve-O.
Are you kidding me? We are killing it. We're raking in the highest ratings this show has ever even heard of. Yeah.
Hell yes. Well, I love you guys. Just to let you know, Steve-O, you're hilarious.
Now, Dr. Drew and me as a team, you love us, right?
There you go.
Now, do you listen to Loveline every night? Or every night it's on?
Yeah.
You're a regular.
I'm driving home from work and I listen to it and then I turn it on when I get home.
And you enjoy the episodes that are the show.
The Steve-O love.
Yeah. Do you think I belong in this chair as a permanent fixture? Is my question, baby.
I think so.
Where was the sincerity on that one? I'm about to bump you to the next call if your question isn't very entertaining.
I am a very sincere person. Come on.
And the question, Brittany.
My question is.
She thought she was being set up for something. I think.
No, go ahead. No. My boyfriend, bless his heart, he's really good at foreplay with me. He is.
Foreplay is kind of...
Hang on a second. Out of curiosity, what does that mean?
Yeah, foreplay can mean a lot of things.
Yeah, because guys think of foreplay, they think of genital contact.
Exactly. I take my zipper down, that's foreplay.
Right.
My boxers are already glued to my leg.
No, he's really good at everything. Like, he gets me right to the edge, and then...
And then he prematurely ejaculates?
No.
What's the problem then?
I just want to know what I can do for him more because, I mean,
oral he's a gig, baby.
Is he complaining?
I have to be in the mood to give it to him.
There's something going on here. You have to be in the mood. That means you're treating these intimate encounters as like chips that you're gambling with or something.
No, but she's saying in the mood, she doesn't like doing oral. That's what she has.
Just tell the guy to take a shower. I mean, obviously, you don't like doing oral if his junk stinks.
What is he complaining?
No.
Does his junk stink sometimes, and that's why you don't want to do it?
No, it's just
his mushroom pole.
It's the first time for both of us, and so it's new for both of us. So, I mean,
I just can't imagine. You either hit the hog or you don't hit the hog. You know, don't fluctuate on the guy. I mean, you're going to drive him insane.
Then don't worry so much about it. If he's complaining, that's one thing, but he'll let you know if it's a problem. Yeah, Kimberly, 25.
Kimberly, hi.
There you are. That's you. You're on with Steve-O. What's going on?
I love that. Like, most of the time people call into radio shows and like they're all nervous. These are regular people listening to this show that love this show. And this girl, I can just she exudes confidence just saying her own name, and I love that. Well, what's up, Kimberly?
First, I actually just want to tell you, like the last girl said, you are the perfect team.
Yes.
Perfect what?
Team. Anyway, she means...
I love you guys together, so you should definitely have the permanent job.
The idea is that we have an actual doctor, right? And then the co-host is
an actual patient.
You know, now tell them about the email I sent you.
Which I'm afraid to say anything about any of them.
Okay, the one that was called Deep Thought. Yeah, I said, Dr. Drew, you practice.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
You practice as a physician. You know, because I
and you're running around doing crazy ass.
Yeah, I thought of Dr. Drew as really honestly just an entertainment personality. I thought, you know, with your TV shows, with your radio show, I just thought that it was like a joke that you're a doctor.
Really?
But then it turns out that you're actually Dr. Drew. How many hours a week do you practice as a physician?
50.
50. You see, that's nothing compared to how many hours. That was my deep thought. I said, you know, like you, Dr. Drew, and I are very busy, busy men. We have, you know, I said, with all of your time practicing as a doctor, you know, that might be an amount of time that could compete with how much time I spent getting wasted and hurting myself, you know?
And it's like 100 hours.
You know, like we both have very limited amount of time. Yeah, we have limited amount of time that we can offer to the media. So the way that we're able to get together on Loveline, it's just phenomenal, and we're making the world a better place.
There you go.
So now, for me, you know, obviously I have to be in contrast. You're a doctor who is helping people get better from injuries.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and encouraging people not to get wasted. And I am getting wasted and,
you're doing
and
all
hurting
the things,
myself.
All the things I suggest people not do, you're the embodiment of.
I am the perfect ghost. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, Kimberly, what's the question?
Okay, my husband is a Marine, and he is getting ready to deploy to Iraq for the second time in 6 weeks.
God.
Yeah.
So my thing is, he definitely has a drinking problem, and he will even admit, yeah, I have a drinking problem. He won't use the word alcoholic, but he'll say, yeah, I have a drinking problem.
By the way, there's no difference.
You know, okay, but here's the thing. I drink a lot. How do you like that? I'm drunk right now. Thing is that we see alcohol and substance abuse more often than not as a symptom of a very different problem, you know, like the alcohol abuse, the drug abuse. What we have, like, you know, it can be bipolar, chronic depression, you know, maybe it's not the drinking. It's probably a psychological issue because, baby, I drink all day and I am chilling. Yeah.
Well, no. Here's the deal with alcohol and drugs is that if they didn't work for people, people wouldn't do them.
And the problem is eventually.
It stops working.
Kind of like my friend Dreamer.
And then you can't stop.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up Dreamer. But it's so funny. So now what's the question, baby? Okay, I've got a real issue. I have a real issue with the Army, the Marines, whatever it is.
What?
When I was a little kid, it used to be all you can be.
Yeah.
You know, join the Army.
Right.
Now there are join the Army commercials plastered all over television, like in your lifetime, which is longer than mine.
Yeah.
You've never seen this many Army commercials on TV before, have you? And they are frighteningly geared and aimed at the parents, seeking the parents' approval mm-hmm. for their children to join them. And that, to me, is just such a glaring indicator that we are so close to a draft situation that we're practically in a draft situation. So I just want to say, look, listen, just get out of Iraq.
But in the meantime, Kim's husband going out there.
I know. I would actually buy him an extra 24-pack of Budweiser just for the plane. I'm so bummed on Iraq.
What is his plan? What's the problem?
His plan, actually, what he like I said, he agrees he has a problem. And
if I was going to get killed, I'd want to be drunk, too.
Well, they're going for 7 months. Obviously, that's what Marines go for, is for 7 months. So his plan is...
Oh, yeah, no, 7 months, and it turns into a year and a half. Hello.
Well, he's there for 7 months already. The Marines just...
So he's going back. And when they said that he'd be home, and then they said, oh, yeah, no, just kidding. We lied to you. And he's probably going to be there for a damn year and a half, the damn Army.
Well, his plan is to use that kind of as his program to stop drinking because he doesn't have any access to
too bad, too bad. The only thing that's worth living for over there is alcohol, baby.
Well, here's the deal, Kim.
They don't get it while they're there for 7 months. They have no access to it.
I know.
It,
so he provided that he doesn't get sick.
Killed.
And develop alcohol withdrawal. The fact is he'll stay sober.
Probably blown up. Good thing he's going to get blown to bits sober.
Hang on. It's not making her feel any better.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He's going. No matter how outraged you are, he's going.
Yeah. I
try not to get political.
I know. It's not working.
I somewhat agree with SeaWo. I think it's kind of ridiculous and everything, but at the same time, it's.
Have you seen this show that they have, Off to War, where, you know, there's this brand new channel for the people who have MTV2, which is not that many. You know, like, you know, there's this new channel. It's Discovery Times Channel. You know, Times You know, the New York Times newspaper and Discovery Channel, like, merge into a TV channel. They have this series called Off to War, which from the commercials, you know, they say, well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, downtown Baghdad, you know, like, and you think it's going to be this compelling story about the families, they document the families that are left alone and the soldiers and all, and then it just doesn't start anywhere or go anywhere. You watch one episode, you watch 2 minutes of it, they say, we're not going to solve a single freaking problem here. We're not going to make anything better. You can't point a gun at someone's face and force them into making a choice for themselves democratically.
Right, right.
You know, and it's just not even, I thought this was going to be a compelling series. I'm so bummed on Iraq. Like, baby, I'm feeling for you, and I'm not going to bring it down.
All right, Kim, here's the deal. Provided he doesn't get ill detoxing from alcohol, he, of course, will not use while he's there. There's no opportunity to use, presumably. Those Marines have a way of using alcohol here and there.
But he's probably not going to
be able, he's probably not going to be able to intoxicate it regularly. And he, you know, people when they're alcoholic do have periods of sobriety and do kind of control it by various means. But ultimately, he will have to do something about
it. Yeah, but I mean, look at heroin, you know, like you detox from heroin, you know, alcohol, and what this is another psychological issue for which alcohol is, you know, the symptom.
I'll be right here.
Oh, Jake's on the phone. Steve-O. Jake, you're on with Steve-O.
Hello?
Yeah, Jake, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Steve-O, what's, like, the worst stunt that made you feel the pain that you went through, like, willingly?
I don't know, man. Pain's all apples and oranges, you know? To be honest, answering that damn question again is what's painful.
All right, let's go. Here's Liz, 17. Liz? Liz?
17, baby, when do you turn legal?
Liz? Caller who goes by Liz?
Illegal tender, about to turn 18.
Not there. Okay. This is.
She just got creeped out because this show is too good right now.
James 23. James, what's up? You're on with Steve-O.
Hey, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude. What are you in an elevator, man?
I'm actually in a break room. I'm in a store right now.
Oh, the break room. Nice, nice. Your job probably sucks, and I'm glad that you're talking to me on the radio instead of working. Yeah.
What's up, Steve-O?
Not quite an idol, but love your work.
Oh, hell yeah, man. What's the question?
On your camp, I was wondering what your criteria is.
Well, that's the project is kind of on hold right now.
Oh, it is?
But, the idea was for, you know, like, okay, I see that, in America, I think that it's really television that's raising the children of America far more than the damn parents are, you know? And I think that, like, kids are just sitting in front of the TV, their minds are being rotted out. The family's life.
So Steve-O's taking it upon himself to kick the crap out of the parents in front of the kids.
Well, no, what I'm trying to do is actually use TV, which is making a gap between parents and their kids, and actually use TV for once to bring the parents closer to their kids, and, you know, and have, you know, just asinine potty humor that actually has a benefit, you know, and even for viewers around the world. To improve parental, I see bad parenting as an epidemic that needs to be dealt with.
No doubt.
You know,
about
you
that.
Have to get a license to catch a freaking fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yet any douchebag can not only have kids, but get paid extra cash bonuses by the damn government to be a horrible father that's not there for his kid.
Michael, 22. Speaking of kids and parents, Michael.
Yeah.
For once, I'm not looking at the screen.
You're
what's
almost,
up, Michael?
You're on with Steve-O.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm getting
what's
a vasectomy, up? Pal.
You are?
I'm going to totally get a vasectomy. I told you that, dude.
I remember you saying that.
I said I was going to get it.
I never thought you were kidding or something.
I'm getting a damn vasectomy.
When?
At first, I was going to.
That's going to be on camera.
I know. Jackass, too.
Well, I can't talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I was, at first,
in Florida?
I was going to. No, well, the setup. And you, what do you mean, dude? I told you I was going to vasectomy. You said that I could, that you could arrange it so that I was conscious and watching my
gen. I said it can be arranged. I'm not sure I'd be the one to arrange it.
Well, okay. Now, at first, I heard that they have a 99% reversal rate of success. Oh, no.
Mm.
Don't tell me that. My dad and I had a real hard. What I was going to do was, you know the joke, the definition of macho is a man who jogs home from his own vasectomy.
Nice.
I was going to get a vasectomy and jog, but running through the tires, jumping over the fences in a circle from my vasectomy to its reversal. So what's your question, bro?
Dude, it's a surgery, man. You can get swollen.
I know that was going to happen. I was going to have like a jump in a seat, and then a stripper comes with a big balloon, puts it on my lap, and jumps on the balloon to pop it.
No, no, no. Oh, Oh no, you don't know what.
See,
you're
this
in for.
Is why I value my. Oh. Yeah, dude. So we are friends, and
yes. And I didn't tell you not to glue your eye shut. Yeah. I'm telling you not to do this.
All right. Well, yeah. we'll work it out. But this you kind of have to be my doctor and my friend.
Yeah, I know. No, that
we're gonna
I can
find
do
a middle ground. We're gonna find a middle ground.
Yeah. All right, Michael. What's the deal, buddy?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend, like, we had a baby about 5 months ago.
Yep.
And we used to we used to have a lot of sex and like, you know, and
so you're saying long. That fell off.
Like, I used to be able to last long, you know, and now like, after we had a baby, like, I bust like real fast.
Man, this is like the opposite of the norm.
What do you think that is?
I have no idea.
Did your chick get hotter after the baby?
Huh?
Okay, now what was the sexual relationship like when she was all bloated or when she had like the big tummy? Oh, like, were you just hammering her the whole time, like right up until the birth date?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just kept hornier and hornier the more her belly grew?
Yeah.
Dude, hey, I've got a stump to talk to Drew over here. Now, okay, so now that the baby's out, now you're like even 10 times hornier than you were because now she's hot again.
Yeah, like, we still we have sex, but like, I don't last. Like,
yeah, we got that, Michael. We got the circumstance.
Dude, so are you eating her out to make up for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whatever shortcomings. So yeah, you're eating her out. That's great. You know, a lot of girls, and Dr. Drew told me, and you know, I listen to everything he says. He says, you know, some girls really focus primarily on sexual pleasure from the clitoris.
Yes.
Others have this mysterious multiple orgasm business that makes me so mad. But
and
it
others
sounds
kind
like
in between.
If you're, as long as your girlfriend can get the clitoral stimulation that she needs from you eating her out after you come a load too fast, then you're in good shape, man, and big it up.
And then maybe it's the case, as you're suggesting, Steve, well, maybe the fact that she is fertile and having his kids and they're getting closer.
Plus,
is
probably her
more,
hormones. You know, women,
her getting
they,
more
she's
aroused.
Got more hormones going on because of this whole thing. And that's probably just and like dogs sniffing shit. Oh, I'm sorry.
You can bleep out.
That's the first time I ever did that.
Okay, we're going to let this
Did
thing
we handle that?
That's no, not a, no, it's handled. It's handled.
That's my first one. I've never dampened.
You've never let an S-bomb or
F-bomb?
No,
never once,
oh,
man.
I'm almost done.
I was really passionate about that.
That's it. It's good. It's all good. This is Danny, 19. Danny?
Hey, Steve-O.
Yeah, very humbled by my first swear word. Sorry, bro.
What was that?
Yeah, there goes that. There goes that last figure.
Don't worry. Take off a zero.
Role models out there today.
You want the what?
I am a great role model.
Yeah, and I called the last two times you were on the show. I called up. The guy who got kicked out of the Camp JCA Shalom.
You got the place where I filmed that.
Right. I remember
that unpopular pilot.
But you weren't actually kicked out of Steve-O's camp. You were kicked out of the camp before Steve-O took
and
over.
And he would like, you know, and I was saying that that's not really a leverage so far as me getting him. Like,
I'm just calling up because, I mean, it's just.
Hey, it went great, but nobody's interested right now, so it's all Jackass 2.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't say that.
Nobody's interested right now. That's weird.
You know, dude, like, there's politics, man.
I guess so. Nicole 18, you're
dude,
talking about it.
I'm going to get you a copy of that, Drew.
I love
it. It's going to blow your mind.
Hey, Nicole, you're on with Steve-O.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Oh, first of all, I would like to say, Steve-O, you're like my idol. I have a poster of you above my bed.
Like my idol.
Idol.
Man.
You're. How does a female idolize Steve-O? How does that work?
I don't know. He's just...
Yeah, I'm basically like Jim Morrison to her, which is totally understandable. Right.
But yeah, she's in love with you.
Yeah, I am. Right. I swear to God.
It's just, you know...
You had a show in Santa Cruz, I think, last year, and I went to see you, and you were... Yeah.
What do you do?
Awesome. Oh, man. I toured 16 countries, man. Sold out venues in 16 different countries.
What do you do?
It's called Don't Try This at Home Tour.
Yeah.
And I promised to all the press, you know, promoting the tour throughout that that not one thing will happen on stage that's allowed to be broadcast on television. And, you know, like, there's like a structure to this show that I do. You know, like, I break the light bulb over my head and scientifically prove the broken glass is sharp by slashing my tongue, which, and I bleed all over. I'm covered in blood. And now you know the tongue is the fastest healing part of the body. So... You know, so like, you know, and I find different real estate night to night. I make it slash somewhere else and I put war paint all over my face. I staple gun my scrotum to my leg. You know, I break bones over my head, put ladders on my face and have the crowd throw plastic patio furniture at my head.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, and it's a really cool. I haven't been doing it because the people I was doing the tour with, my manager.
Could hail the insurance?
My manager, and we had no insurance. My manager and lawyer were also my business partners in my video distribution, and they co-signed an insurance policy on my life after lying to my face about the fact that they were beneficiaries. And at one of my shows in Louisiana, the famous, you know, $1,120,000 bail, stemming from this incident, I got the two felony charges and was facing 8 years in prison with over $1 million bail. The bouncer that beat up the kid, which resulted in the accessory to second-degree battery charge. There was a kid suing me for damn brain damage, as my manager and lawyer kept that. The lawyer appointed himself the attorney to represent me. Hired a lawyer to handle this, but said, oh, Steve was just too busy. He's all Hollywood. He doesn't even want to talk about it. Like, the papers were delivered in absentia. I got a public defender. They kept a brain damage lawsuit a secret from me so as to keep me on the road filming for their purposes.
Wow.
So I fired them and signed up with William Morris Agency, who's going to be dealing with my Loveline contract. So.
Wow.
Yeah, the real wild thing, man.
Woo.
Yeah, and it's all book material too, man. I've saved every email.
Nicole, what's the question?
Hey, what's up? Okay, so my boyfriend's been trying to get me to have anal sex, but I'm not positive if it's like safe or not, and I want to know like what some of the risks were and stuff.
You know, it's not a question of even safety. This is just a dominance issue that, you know, like Chris Pontius, you know, his girlfriend still hasn't given up door number two, and it's not even his girlfriend. They're married. Pontius is married. And, you know, it was supposed to be on the wedding night that he was going to break through door number two for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and we joke around about it a lot about how, like, he's not wearing the pants in the family because, you know, I mean, they'd say, like, do you cheat on your girlfriend? Like, well, of course I cheat on my girlfriend. How else would I know that I loved her?
Unless
I have something to compare her to,
boy.
You know? It's like every time I come home after cheating on my girlfriend,
I know
I love her because I've got this comparison.
Oh,
so then it's like, does your girlfriend love you? Well, no, it's like, do you have sex with your girlfriend anally? Well, else would I know if she loved me?
that's the way she can show you.
And all you're going to do is prove that he's a dominant figure in the relationship. I don't see a lot to gain from you giving up door number
And here's
two.
Where it can go wrong. A, it's the most effective way to transmit a sexually transmitted disease,
yeah.
Even if it's HPV, because HPV is associated.
It's just like prison. It's just like it's prison mentality. And
virus.
You don't deal with your girl that way, dude. He doesn't want to put his wiener in your butt because he loves you. Let's put it that way.
That's for sure. Wart virus is associated with anal cancer. That all the other obvious STDs can be transmitted that way. That even with wearing a condom, it's a significant risk.
Yeah, you know what? All it does is the condom itself. It's not a lubricated area. The condom itself will make the friction happen, which will open up the potential, and then break the condom to make sure it all goes down. Condoms are actually going to make you get STDs more.
Well, I wouldn't say more, but here's the deal: that's a part of the body that already, as you age, has lots of problems. Of course, people don't know about this. They don't know about fistulas and fissures.
I've been
and
hanging
hemorrhoids.
Out with a lot of gay guys,
and
I'm not going to explain why.
And sinus tracts, and it's really can be awful, and it can even prolapse. Later in life, there can be actually, the erectum can actually drop out and kind of fall through and become
a
big
but that's mess. When I, last time I asked you, like do people have their rectum fall out of their butt, and then they have to put it on ice so that they can like take it to the hospital and sew it back into their butt?
It's not quite that vivid, but it's even kind of worse, because when it falls out, it cuts off its own blood supply and can be quite painful. So let's go to take a break here, Steve.
Do you guys just let it be known that I love being on Loveline, and there's a new boy in town. What up?
He's got two four-letter words tattooed to his hands. 1-800-L-O-V-E.
And I said one of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they didn't
L-O-V-E-L-I-N-E.
Loveline.
Steve-O, Dr. Drew.
1-800-L-O-V-E-191, Dr. Drew. Steve-O.
Oh, whoops. I'll get it down.
Loveline.
Okay, wait. My hair.
Oh. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, Loveline, cast of Laguna Beach in here tomorrow night. Next night, Alicia Cuthbert from 24. Jenna Fisher, she's sort of the plain Jane looking girl on Office. In real life, quite a bit different. We'll hear from her the next night. She wants revenge towards the end of the week. And Steve-O is God knows where in this building. I hope he's not. His tendency to run around the offices here and like poo on things and stuff. So whenever he's not in the control room here, it's kind of a scary thing for all of us. Let's take a call from Mike, who's 25. Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? Steve-O will be here in a minute, I'm sure. Expect. Here you go. You're on the air. Okay. Oh, here he is.
Yeah.
He's talking to Mike, Steve-O. He's 25.
Mike, what's going on, brother man? Dude.
All right, check it out. When my girlfriend comes, she has like a normal little first one, and then a second one where she secretes like a 32-ounce cup full of fluid.
You know, that's what I was talking to Dr. Drew with during the commercial when I was holding my wiener, peeing, and drinking and smoking at the same time.
On Venice Boulevard.
Yeah. I said, Dr. Drew, 95% of women fake orgasms.
Yes, you did say that to me.
It was far. I found
you said the only time you could be sure they weren't
is when they're a gusher. When they're a gusher. Like women, and that gushing is what this guy's talking about. That gushing is absolute, undeniable proof that you
and so
made
guys
a woman
like
have
that.
An orgasm.
And so guys like that,
the
right?
The only time I ever feel like the girl's not faking it, and there was one girl that admitted to me that she was faking it.
Really?
I've not laid eyes on her since.
What?
It's like, dude, 95% of women want to fake orgasms. That's great.
But
she told me, she said, after this big theatrical display of, oh, I'm sorry I came before you. And I'm thinking, yeah. And then a couple weeks later, we're at Pontius' surprise birthday party. And I say, she says, if I ever find out you lied to me, I am going to be so over you. And then I'm thinking, all right, this is getting creepy. I go, but baby, we have killer sex. And she goes, oh, if you want to make me come, you're going to have to try a lot harder. And I'm thinking, I'm slinking through the booth, falling on the floor while I'm chunking down a screwdriver, thinking, and I go, that means you're caught in a lie. Like, remember that first time?
Yes.
She realizes it. Oh, and then it turns out that here's a woman who faked orgasms and then was stupid enough to admit it to me.
Either that or maybe
I have not laid eyes on her since.
Or it was for real and she just was trying to make you feel bad. That's possible.
No, it was a glaring fake case. Up. She said, I've never had an orgasm in my life.
Ooh.
At which point I walked over to Knoxville and I said, she wants a Malibu Bay Breeze. Go buy it for her and give it to her where she sits, a single woman.
And so the point being is that guys like producing something.
You know, the only proof there is the gushing, and it makes me mad he's saying that it's on the second one. Okay. I want multiple orgasms, but as long as you're getting gushing, dude, then that means you're doing the right pounding.
Monica, 28.
Hey, you guys, how are you?
We're good. What's up?
Good. I've been listening to you since Ricky Rackman days, and I
Wade,
he was not a co-host.
Yes.
Yeah.
For 3 years. Yeah.
That's why he had that hot porno chick girlfriend. I remember that dude. That dude wasn't even. He didn't even have a mullet, and he's trying to call himself a headbanger. He had no business with that porn star, and damn well no business being on Loveline. Thank God I'm here to correct that.
Thank God you are, Steve-O. You are a great addition to taking over for Adam. I miss Adam, but you make me want to listen again. So I appreciate it.
Oh, baby. I know so many people feel you with me.
Yeah, no, keep on coming. Keep
I know. Hey, every time I show up in this building, it is horrible news for Adam Kroll.
Here is Drew is 30. He wants to tell you something about your vasectomy jogging.
Oh, nice.
Steve,
Drew?
Steve, yeah. You're going to go jogging after you have this vasectomy.
You know, I my father had a vasectomy. He claims that he's firing blanks, but he's quick on the reload.
Yeah, no, you're talking about
I just had a vasectomy, and
my dad said jogging after it would be mellow.
Hold on, go ahead, Drew.
Hold on. I didn't wear a jock strap right afterwards. Doctors told me all I had to do was wear some whitey tighties. Imagine a stack of quarters on a grapefruit, bud.
Do you realize how much you're inspiring me to make this happen?
I'm telling you, man, if you get the...
You're telling me to do it. If I was doubting it before, you've just told me definitely do it. Because this is Jackass 2. It's Paramount Pictures. And even though I didn't say that, okay, even though I did not say that, this is what I'm talking about, getting bare penis. R-rated. Man. On the silver screen, pal, my penis is going to be a movie. I want my penis.
You aren't even going to see the penis. You're going to see the grapefruits.
I want three starrings. I want starring Steve-O, Steve-O's wiener, and left ball and right ball. I'm making movie stars out of my genitals.
Yeah, it's going to be your second belly button, bro.
Yeah, thank you for telling me that that's a bad experience that I need to have for the benefit of mankind.
It's bad, though, Roger. It's painful after that vasectomy, right?
If you don't,
nobody wants to see me.
Let's hear it. And
if
so what?
You don't wear the if you don't go to the operation and come out with a jock strap on your body, all the fluid flows right in there. I was out for a week and a half.
It's kind of like saying that everybody's going to love it, and I'm glad that you pointed that out.
Steve-O's going to
Dr. Drew's going to make sure that I'm conscious throughout and aware and watching my genitals be
swollen,
mutilated,
he wants to witness his own vas deferens.
Why not? That was your idea for me to witness it. It was my idea to run through a very grueling obstacle
course. And he wants
afterwards.
To see his testicles develop elephantiasis.
I do want
elephantiasis
in
the testicles.
You
want
exactly,
to
see yeah. Exactly. You know.
All right, Erica, 21.
People have cancer.
Yeah.
They see that. They don't have cancer. They're not thinking about it.
Erica.
Make cancer go away. What's up, baby?
Yes, Steve-O. Yeah, you're here.
Hello?
Yeah, baby. Come on, baby. Give me a boner.
Hi. Hi, Steve-O. I love you.
Thank you, honey. She sounds.
I'm talking to you right now.
Baby.
The question is, do you enjoy the pain?
Do I enjoy the pain? Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those questions that's more painful than the pain that you're asking about.
Oh, yeah?
We've already been asked this question in various ways tonight.
I know, baby. I feel like you're strangling me, honey.
She's not listening. I don't like people that don't listen.
I know. Right, even when I'm drunk, I'm not dumb, am I?
No, you're not dumb.
Yeah.
You were trained in the greatest British institutions.
No. It was actually an American institution. It was the American School in London, England.
Yeah.
I went to school with the American ambassador to England with his son, the president of Ford Motors.
But you know those are British institutions just with American names. Let's face it. You were
80% of my senior graduating class went to Ivy League schools.
See?
I was a loser for going to University of Miami.
See?
And thank God I dropped out of that place. Yeah.
And then you went to Egypt as part of your training or something?
No, it was in eighth grade when I went to Egypt.
Eighth grade. So you basically, Steve-O toured the world.
I want everyone, you know, even though that I can say that because it's Loveline. Thank you, brother.
Again, I wish a camera were going. An arm just suddenly pokes into the room and jams a beer in Steve-O's face.
That's Dreamer. Remember meeting Dreamer?
Yes, I remember Dreamer.
Okay, we were at the.
Dreamer's pretty harsh.
He's amazing. This is okay. I'm going to the Dreamer thing.
Yeah.
Okay. We're Dr. Drew and I were co-hosting.
We're announcing some bands.
It's some bands. Korn. Yeah. Nine Inch Nails, White Stripes. I mean, this is not a minor. This is a rock concert that sells out within 2 minutes of tickets going on sale. Okay, so what we have here is, and to make it like Lollapalooza-style amphitheater sales, they have to do it 2 days in a row.
Right.
So it was 2 days in a row that I spent tripping on mushrooms.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I knew something was up.
Dude, I was on fire. And, you know, I grabbed the microphone. I'm like declaring war with Howard Stern and Adam Carolla in front of 15,000 screaming fans, talking about how. And then what I said after that was, and I apologize again because Dr. Drew had his kids with him. And that was, I said, a woman will never ask a man to eat her. I can say that because it's Loveline.
A-hole.
But she will darn well not tell him to stop. And even though that's funny, it's not true.
It's not true.
Yeah, but then somebody gave me this chocolate that's magic mushrooms mixed with chocolate, and they said like, oh, make sure you don't give this to any kids. And I was like, come on, you know, like, so I put it in my pocket, kind of like that ecstasy pill I was describing earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then later in the night, I just kind of thought whatever, and I was with the director of this big time movie, the National Lampoon TV the movie, which I can talk about. So whatever. And I break this job. I'm thinking somebody warned me about chocolate. You know, I'm thinking like I'm badass. Like I'm gnarly. I don't have no warning, you know. So I break this big piece of chocolate in half and then eat it with the director of this 20th Century Fox movie. And meanwhile, I've got Dreamer, the gang member who I brought here tonight. And we start just tripping so hard on this. Like we overdid it eating half of this piece of chocolate.
Well, people came right up to me going, if Steve-O offers you chocolate, don't take it. Don't eat it.
Yeah. So in any case, I'm still just basically wigging out the second night of this rock festival. Right?
That was still for the night before.
Yeah. I did not sleep a wink between those 2 days, Dr. Drew. That was one rock concert to me. It was one rock concert to me. So now I'm explaining to Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, I've had, you know, I've got this bro of mine, Dreamer, you know. He has the most horrifying gang tattoos that you can possibly throw your body away with. Like, anybody that's like a gang buff would know that the gigantic number 13 that's covering Dreamer's neck is a very horrifying gang tattoo. Yeah, you know, it stands for, like, there's 13 letters in this name of a gang that's so horrifying it's virtually unknown. I'm probably violating. V Dreamer, am I cool? I can see him through the glass. He says it's cool, it's cool, it's cool. Okay, so now I met Dreamer for the first time when I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, like sometime in 1996. I'm talking almost 10 years ago. Dreamer and I, he was teaching me, like, you're just showing me, like, yeah, it's rad. Like, he's got me smoking crystal meth out of a light bulb, like, 10 years ago. Okay, like when I was just a chump doing flips off three-story buildings for cigarettes, you know. And now, like recently, after not having seen Dreamer for like 6 years, you know, I'm at this club or whatever. It's a wild scene. Dreamer rolls up, and I think, oh no, like what am I stuck in that? And then it turns out Dreamer's become more likable over the last 10 years. You know, he used to be really pretty antisocial when I knew him in Albuquerque. But,
you mean you thought he was going to come get you for something?
Well, no, not come get me, but you know, people think that they'll tend to think they have a clutch on you because they knew you before, you know? Mm-hmm. Dreamer's my bro. Mm. And now he's not slowed down on the crystal meth at all. And I'm telling you, because it was like really weird. Like, I had recently seen a documentary on television, like a real expose on the true dangers of crystal meth, which says that it's like it blocks serotonin from, and so, you know, so it's not the actual effect of it's not that the drug gives you a buzz, the drug gives you damn brain damage.
Right.
The
drug causes your brain cells to reverse a transport mechanism. And the cell actually starts accumulating your own brain chemical in the cell cytoplasm, and it kills the cells.
And it's not the drug, you know. And so
it's not a direct effect of the drug. It's a secondary effect of the drug.
Since being reunited with Dreamer, I've seen every detail of this brain damage
in him that
I saw in this documentary about meth. And, like, you know, he calls it pepping, and we joke around laughing hysterically about how he uses meth responsibly, you know. But the thing is that during this mushroom trip that I was on...
He's cracking up now, by the way.
Yeah, during this mushroom trip I was on, Dreamer took 3 bars. For people who don't know Xanax, a bar is a lot of Xanax. It's like 4 pills.
2 milligrams, yeah.
And then he takes 3 of them at once.
6 milligrams.
Now, at this point, you would expect any...
Let's put it this way. I would stop breathing.
You, anyone would fall flat out.
But I stopped breathing.
Now, Dreamer hadn't had meth for all. Like, he was... So I see... It's like I'm on magic mushrooms, like, looking through his skull, and I can see this gigantic meth hole. Empty. He runs out. He takes 3 bars of Xanax. Turns into a monster.
Oh, he did.
He turned into a monster, and it's just missing meth. Like I can hang out with Dreamer, but I need him to get his pep, you know, which is what he calls meth. You know, we didn't come here with any drugs or anything, so the cops can mellow out, you know, but, like, I'd really get uncomfortable hanging out with Dreamer because when the meth is missing is when the problem starts. So as the magic mushrooms take more of an effect, Dreamer decides that it's time to go get baking soda and... whatever he was up to, but he starts cooking crack in my bathroom.
Oh my God.
This is what I was bragging about. And he was very responsible. Like, after about 2 hours of locking himself in my bathroom smoking crack. Ha ha, what up, Dreamer? and I was scared of him at this point. I mean, I'm looking for weapons. I already picked, like, which wine bottle I was going to first reach for. You know, when, because he's like telling my microwave that he's going, that's right, I'm robbing you. You know, like, he's being attacked by aliens from all directions.
Here's the people on crack is they start worrying about the police, not the people
crack,
around them.
I know. And every crime committed by a meth head is never for financial gain. It's always because someone's out to get you.
Right.
I'm talking about there are aliens attacking him from all directions. Yeah. So when I hadn't even slept from, this is the second night of the rock concert, and we did an on-camera interview, you, me, Dr. Drew, and Dreamer. And on the last segment, we've only got 10 more minutes. After this commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to meet Dreamer, the world's first and most lovable professional crackhead and meth addict.
All right,
back. Dude, you got issues.
Call Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody, love line 1-800-LOVE-191. Steve-O, always
get,
bring...
Always, get in here, Dreamer.
Hang on, first, quickly we'll take a call, though, because you bring out the best in people.
Okay, let me tell you about what it was like when Dreamer was smoking crack in my
mouth. No, wait, first just take the call. Take the call, then we'll go to Dreamer. When Daisy.
Hi.
What's going on? You're on with Steve-O and Dreamer.
Hi, Steve-O, I love your show. Hi, Dr. Zer. Hi, I was wondering if there's any risk for doing this. My boyfriend likes to ejaculate in my ear.
I said, Steve, you bring out the best. Bring out the
you
best.
You know what? I think that, and this isn't me being funny.
No, nothing funny about this.
I think that's another dominance issue. I mean, because the actual act of sex,
yeah.
I could take it or leave it. It's
really?
Bragging to my bros.
That's important.
That
to
I
you,
do
huh?
it. Yeah, bragging to the bros is way more important than actually having sex.
When is it?
The dude's just hanging out with his bros. He's like, dude, I aimed for a year. I cold filled it, dude. You know.
Right. So, when Daisy, I would suggest you not allow him to do that. Doesn't do anything for him.
He's making to him. It's funny.
It's bragging rights. Funny and it's bragging rights. Not good for you. What? It's not good for your ear. No,
I mean, if he's aiming for it.
Putting things in your ear, not a good thing. Generally speaking, just all things being equal, keep things out of your ear.
All right, Steve, here you go. I'm so excited about you. We've only got a couple more minutes. So Dreamer's smoking crack, and it's really, really, really not, like, creeping
Well, let
me
Dreamer
out.
Say hi, anyway.
Dreamer, say what up.
How's it going?
Yeah, Dreamer's like, dude, I'm not even going to get into the crimes that you confess that you don't remember confessing.
Stop it. It's one thing when you sort of expose yourself.
I know, but the thing is, I don't even think he knew what he was talking about. I think he was creating a fictional. It was fiction. It was definitely fiction. So now I'm sitting there, I'm tripping on mushrooms with the director of 20th Century Fox Feature Films, National Lampoon TV, the movie, which is, there's all kinds of stuff on it on my website, steveovideo.com. And then all of a sudden, Dreamer comes out after trying to talk me and the director into smoking crack with him.
Yeah, I was trying to get you guys to finish it.
And then all of a sudden, Dreamer comes out and he says, hey, man. And I wasn't even going near that bathroom. I didn't even want to know anything about it. But then he gets the director of this big movie to come in and literally flush. Dreamer says, flush the crack down the toilet. And at this moment, and I don't know how like a substance is supposed to be purified, yet gets bigger. Like crack rocks are bigger than the amount of coke, I guess, that you make them with. But in any case, like Dreamer literally had Sam flush the crack down the toilet, and we thought to ourselves, we were laughing our asses off. We said, oh my God, he really is actually a responsible crackhead. What do you guys say about it, dude? You're more into meth.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That was a meth bomb.
Yeah, dude, come on, man.
Steve, it's the meth. I'm losing my mind.
And here's the deal, Steve-O. It took you about hour 10 to do that. Took for you about 10 seconds.
His star potential is off the charts. Crack and guns made 50 Cent the man of the year, and he doesn't even use the stuff. You know, Dreamer uses guns and crack. He's going to be way bigger. Yeah, dude. But Dreamer, you got to tighten up your language, man. This is my job, dude. You just screwed up in my workplace.
Oh, sorry. It's just, he thinks he's on satellite. It's okay.
Oh, dude, he doesn't know what's going on.
All right, listen, we got to take another break. Steve, I want to thank you for not crapping anywhere.
And Dreamer, thank you for coming on and joining with us.
Yeah.
This
is him with meth. Not on him, but in him.
Well, you seem settled. You seem comfortable right now.
Yeah, it's when the meth hole gets empty.
When I don't have my party tools.
Dude, I'm telling you, if he could pull out like a hip pack full of meth, and I would be like at ease because I don't have to deal with the missing meth Dreamer.
All right, we're gonna be right back.
If you need help.
Call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
K Cast of Laguna Beach in here tomorrow night. And Steve, why don't you just repeat what you were just telling me, that interesting conversation about...
We're going to wrap it up. I know we have a couple minutes.
20 seconds.
I know there's a lackluster cast of stars coming in for the next week. Dreamer, I've seen him in states where he could commit homicide on me. He could kill me. And it wouldn't be personal. He's just that smart. That's why they call him Dreamer. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. Sometimes he has a nightmare. He could kill me. It wouldn't even be personal.
But it'd be his drug.
It would be off like drugs. I was like a fork to him trying to eat a hoagie.
It's all the Sudafed they put in it now.
It's the bad stuff in the speed, not the good stuff.
But yeah. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Dreamer, congratulations. Excellent show. I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back a lot, and I want everybody contacting Loveline to demand that I get this huge contract I'm looking for. Because Drew and I are going to be the biggest singer radio. High five, brother.
And until
ladies
next
and
time,
gentlemen, you've been listening to Loveline.
Good night, stay well.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.